Hello again, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. Thanks for joining us today. I'm so happy to welcome our guest today, Principal Timpani from the Florida Orchestra, John Bannon, and Principal Percussionist, John Shaw. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Bill?
Not used to talking. You guys want to sing your hellos. That works for me. So one of the things I want to talk about today is the role of percussion in the orchestra, but we have a sort of a special occasion in that Mr. Bannon is retiring from the orchestra after something like 40 years. There's an amazing history there. Let me go through your quick bio here and praise you a little bit and talk about how cool you are, and then I'm going to ask you about it, if that's all right. You are a St. Pete native, am I correct?
No, I was born in Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay, I wasn't sure how Anchorage fit into that, but you graduated from St. Pete High or Northeast?
Northeast.
Right? Northeast High. Okay. What brought you here from Anchorage?
My dad retired. My dad's family moved here in 1929, and so I was born in Anchorage during my dad's career away from here.
Mm-hmm. And then you retired down here. So
my early musical education was in Anchorage. I just came here for my senior year of high school.
Oh, okay.
And so I graduated from Northeast High and did undergrad here.
Was that always music for you?
Yeah, from about the time I was 14 for sure.
And percussion as well.
Yeah, it's about the third thing I tried. You know, my dad had a piano at home, and we still have my dad's piano. They tried Suzuki violin on me in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that just doesn't work. I get that.
Well, mm-hmm. I was sick and I stayed away for a week or two, and somehow I got back after missing 2 weeks, and I thought that during 2 weeks was during the time when you learned how to read music. And of course, the deal with Suzuki is you do it all by ear. You don't read music. I mean, mm-hmm. music reading is later, but I didn't know that. So I gave up on that. So, yeah, drums was about the third thing I tried.
Did you start out being like a rock and roll drummer or
yes.
jazz drummer or something? Really? Okay.
Sure.
So you have that kind of background. How
sure.
interesting.
Yeah. It wasn't until my third year at USF that I knew for sure that I was probably going to go more classical than drum set. You know, more opportunities this way. I got a job playing percussion in the Florida Gulf Coast Symphony.
Yeah.
My second year of college.
73 to 78.
Yep.
I knew that.
And so then things just started going this direction. But I still have drum set, you know, in my closet. Figuratively, it's actually sitting out in the bedroom where I practice, although my son discombobulated the setup yesterday to pick up some stuff to take to a job.
Okay. Your son is a percussionist as well.
Yeah, neither him being a musician nor him being a drummer were planned, but you just throw stuff at him and that's what takes. He gives the best answer for me, actually. It's been probably 5 years, 10 years since he told us to stop asking if you sure he wanted to be a musician. No, I'm not just doing it for you. But you know, people ask him, what would you be if you weren't a musician? And he gives the best answer for me. His answer is homeless.
Your wife is a musician as well, yeah?
Yeah. Kelsey's actually a third-generation musician. My father-in-law, Harry Newell, was the first oboe player in the St. Petersburg Symphony, the predecessor of the Florida Orchestra, and vice president of the local and a big contractor in town. And so Carmen has her dad's flute, played it a good time into her professional career. So, yeah, she's the second flute player in the Sarasota Orchestra. I think they started a service at 11 o'clock.
It runs in the family. Was there ever a thought of not doing what you do here? I mean, I know your CV is full of gigs all around the country and all sorts of different places, and teaching and conducting, but you're still in St. Petersburg. I'm from St. Petersburg, so I get it. You know, I don't really want to leave.
When my folks moved back here, when my dad retired, I actually stayed an extra year in Anchorage because there were more opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with one of my brothers. If you're a young musician growing up in Alaska in those days, in Alaska, we refer to anything that's not Alaska as outside. So if you were a young musician in Alaska those days, you had to get outside to go to school. And so I knew I was going to have to get outside. So after my junior year of high school, I came here to stay with my parents. And I think that had always been planned, basically to establish residency so I could afford to go to school.
Uh-huh.
And so...
But you still had an opportunity to go wherever you wanted once you became professional.
Well, you don't have an opportunity to go wherever you want. You take auditions, and wherever you win the audition, that's where you are.
Ostensibly.
You actually don't even have any idea where you are. You get off the plane, and you say, where is this?
Hmm.
And I had one of those experiences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen was born at Mound Park Hospital, now Bayfront Hospital.
So was I, thank you.
and so... I like to say that when I landed back here after 10 years in Oklahoma City, I was relieved of the burden of ambition. Or at the very least, I poured all of my ambition here. I took a couple of more auditions, and I did well in them. I just didn't have the killer instinct anymore. I would get to the final somewhere, and they're jerking you around, as they always do. I'm just sort of shrugging my shoulders saying, I don't need this. They need me back where I am, even though back where I was here. You know, in those years, I like to say we were in a permanent existential crisis. You know, in those years, I used to joke that the long-term plan of the Florida Orchestra was to make Friday's payroll.
I wanted to talk specifically about timpani. The great unwashed, i.e. me, you know, and you've heard this your entire career, sort of think, okay, well, it's a big kettle drum, and, you know, you sort of whack it, and it makes this big bassy sound. But I've come to realize in my educating myself before I talk to the two of you that it is not only so much more than that, it's very tunable, and it's also, someone referred to it as kind of a connector between the bass section and percussion. Why did you gravitate towards timpani?
When I was in seventh grade, the band director gathered all the drummers around and said, okay, we have the Christmas concert coming up. These are the timpani. You hit them out by the edge. You use a single stroke roll. You look at the notes on the page and figure out what the notes are, and you go over to the piano and you play the note and you tune the drum to the note that you just played on the piano. Okay, now let's go around the room and everybody do that. Okay, so we went around the room. At the end of that process, he said, okay, you're going to be the timpani player on the Christmas concert. Here's a Ludwig timpani instructor, and here's a pair of Ludwig timpani sticks, both of which I still have.
So greatness was thrust upon you, is what you're saying.
And there's a level on which it's an easy instrument, too. I mean, you can either play it or you can't. I don't know how to teach it. It's first you tune it and then you hit it, preferably in that order.
Keep going, you're killing me.
But it's not always in that order. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just winging it. It has a lot in common with orchestral percussion. I was an orchestral percussionist for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I basically used that time to learn how to become a timpanist. I basically learned by watching my model and great friend still, Joe Biro, who still comes to concerts. I just sat there and went to school on him. My first concert in the orchestra, we found the program, November 1973. Four movements of Prokofiev, Romeo and Juliet. Mm. Earl Wilde played one of the Chopin concerti, and the second half was Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony, and I was the bass drummer.
Mm.
And I just sat there for 5 years, and also playing with Joe those 5 years. We were also both playing in the Florida West Coast Symphony. Same thing, he was a timpanist, I was a percussionist. So I was playing 15 masterworks a year, bass drum and triangle, sitting there and going to school on Joe, learning the repertoire. By the time I got to grad school at Michigan, I knew the repertoire. I knew how to play in an orchestra. So, you know, when I landed a job 2 weeks into my second year of grad school, I straight, you know, flew out there and got off the plane in Oklahoma City and walked in and played. And there was no transition for me. I was experienced. I was ready to play. Yes, it was my first day as a principal timpanist with on paper, no experience. But, you know, the joke, at least back then, was they want you to be 20 years old and have 30 years of experience.
Sounds a lot like journalism.
The good news is your first year on the job, you get 10 years of experience.
Mm-hmm. Why are you retiring? Can't
because I can.
Can't pick up another mallet, you know.
I intend to remain active. Yeah. People say, what are you going to do when you retire? My answer is less.
I like that. Yeah.
But I intend to remain active. I have five projects through the summer lined up that I'm starting on now. It's just not driving around and getting there 2 hours early every time we move. We're moving five times this week. I'm basically retiring because I can.
No more tuxedos? Is that part of it? You know,
I don't
know.
For me,
that would be a huge thing. I don't have to put that penguin suit on again.
Yeah, that's
I'm losing tails, I think. I think I'm going to lose tails.
Okay.
I'm not.
Oh, you rebel.
I'm not wild about tails. In the pandemic, my two strikes were ties and socks. Mm. You know, I don't wear ties. I don't wear socks.
Okay, I like that. I don't wear ties either.
Yeah, well,
I think I forgot how to tie one. It's been that long.
Yeah, you know. I taught myself how to hand tie a bow tie. I think it ought to be part of the graduation requirement from conservatory.
Boy, that's way over my head. Do you still do the teaching gig in Vermont over the summer?
I teach, and this will be my 20th summer teaching chamber music to high school kids at the Kinhaven Music School in Vermont. We'll have two alumni of the program in the orchestra next year. We'll have Caitlin, the second horn player, and the acting principal bassoon, Brendan Sills, a Kin alum. And this summer I'm doing four chamber music projects on faculty concerts there, and Monday was a practice day on those. I think tomorrow morning is going to be a practice day for those.
Because I can, is what you said when you're retiring. You're not really retiring. You're leaving the Florida Orchestra after 40 years.
Timpani is 36, 5 years in the percussion section. So 41, this continuous service here, 10 years away. 10 years away for grad school in Oklahoma City. So I joined the orchestra in the fall of 1973.
Kudos to you, my friend. And congratulations on a well-deserved retirement. I wanted to talk with both of you, as we said, about the role of percussion in orchestral music. And what I said before about the bass, kind of the through line there for me was, again, people like myself who don't really know how things work always thought of timpani as like, well, that's what comes up in the big crescendo, you know, or in also Sprachlars, you know, in that bit, whatever it's called, also Sprach Zarathustra.
You said it
boom,
right.
Boom, 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 yep. You know, that sort of thing, that it's like garnish. But that's not really the case, is it, John Shaw?
No. Yeah, no. Timpani is many times the backbone of the orchestra. You know, it's providing, you know, both pitch and pulse. And you're right to say that it does connect with the bass instruments of the orchestra, mm-hmm. as well, with the tuba, the low brass, the double bass. They're just all used in conjunction with each other. Yeah. Oftentimes the timpanist is referred to as the second conductor of the orchestra.
Well, I had this idea, not even timpanist, but with that crescendo idea, which is very naive, I understand, that there was a lot of, especially with what you do, of just standing there and reading the score, waiting for your part to come up, whereas maybe the violin section is busy a lot.
Right.
You know, I mean, is that not true either? You're a drummer, and you what you do is slightly different.
Yes.
Or maybe more than slightly, but you're present all the time, and there's all sorts of little flourishes and big passages that you have to be on.
Yeah, but you're right. There are times where, as me more so than John, have some downtime where I'm just really observing what everybody else is doing. And that's kind of fun. But then percussionists are probably a little bit more like the kickers in football. You know, we have to come in at a certain point and nail the 50-yard field goal at the most appropriate time, and you stand up and you do it. Whereas timpani is playing a little bit more constantly. John plays more than I do overall in the orchestra.
Okay, see, I'm learning. You've been with TFO since 92, I think?
I did a series of one-year positions starting in 92. I think 92 and 93, I did 2 one-year positions. And then I had a year where I was just playing extra with the orchestra and kind of roaming around playing with other orchestras in the state too, like Naples and so forth. And then I came back again for another 1 year when my predecessor took a leave of absence. And then after, so those were all, it was temporary. And then in 96, they had the audition for principal percussion, which I took again and got the job in 96. So officially I've been here since 96.
So what I understand is that the percussion section, is it 4 people?
There's a timpanist and 3 percussionists. So it's 4 people. We are all drummers slash percussionists.
30 years. You four have been, you know, it's John, Paul, George, and Ringo. You guys, you guys are the combo.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the sort of, if that's the expression, brotherhood, sisterhood, familyhood, what's that like? I mean, are you guys really tight? Y'all go out for a beer later and, hey, that was a great show.
No, we actually are, we are tight. There are some sections in America that have some discord and that don't get along. I'm not going to say who. But we do know of stories where there are people in some sections that don't talk to each other, or don't get along very well. We've always gotten along famously. I mean, and after a while, it's like working, you know, with brothers. I mean, 3 much older brothers in my case, but a bucket of fish.
Got it. Yeah, there you go. Snuck that one in.
I'm sorry. I just
I'm the oldest. You're the youngest. How far apart are we?
We're 12 years apart.
That's nothing. Are you kidding?
I know.
So, yeah.
I mean,
it's just the sort of thing where you know, we're like playing in a rock and roll or a jazz band where you kind of know what the other person's going to do. I mean, obviously the score doesn't change. It has a lot to do with what Maestro wants and all that stuff. But you kind of, I know that John's going to do it this way.
Exactly.
Or, you know, that this is coming in.
Exactly.
Yes. I don't have to look to know who's playing to the right of me.
Okay. That's what I meant. Talk to me about Mr. Bannon here. And you know, let's praise him to the sky because this is his retirement podcast.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he knows more. He's forgotten more about timpani than I will ever know. And I've also, you know, learned from watching him, especially over the years when he's chugging along playing and I'm sitting there waiting for my moment. And it's just always great to play with somebody that you trust, that you know what they're going to do. Yeah. And there are so many things that I've learned from him too over the years and the other guys too in the section, Kurt and Dave. You know, just when I came in wet behind the ears and a young guy, you know, I learned a lot just from watching them. And yeah, it's great.
We should note that this weekend's concert, which is Mahler Symphony No. 3, is the last Masterwork show of the season. So you're kind of John, Mr. Bannon, you kind of sang, that's it for me, end of the season. You could have left in the middle of the season, left everybody high and dry, but you didn't do that, so well done.
Yeah, well, it's my job until the end of the season. I'm going to do my job and that's going to be that.
Oh, I knew that. I was just ribbing you.
I mean, barring some calamity, nothing else ever occurred to me. I tell people in the office, I say, I challenge you to find record of me taking sick leave in the millennium. I'm doing the job until it's not my job, and then I won't be doing the job.
That's true. He doesn't get sick. Well, he doesn't take sick leave.
You have permission to get a cold now and then, now that you're retiring.
Define sick.
Well, yeah.
How do we define sick? Mahler Symphony Number 3 is it's both parts of the concert. It's a massive piece. Am I right?
Yeah, it's about 90 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you divide it up? You know, the big crescendo, boom, now we're coming back with the rest of it in 20 minutes or whatever.
No, there's no intermission.
There's no, you don't do intermissions.
No,
yes, that's
not right. For a big work like that. There are, many intermissions between some of the movements, but not very long. Mm-hmm. It's all one book with 6 chapters in it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, I'm learning things every day. If you guys weren't here, I'd just be spouting off mistruths the whole time. Mezzo-soprano Susan Platts and the women of the Master Chorale of Tampa Bay and Lumina Youth Choirs are joining you. So I guess there's a vocal component.
Yes, there is.
To this. The concert is Saturday at 8 o'clock and Sunday at 2 at the Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg. And let me just get this in here, folks. You go to floridaorchestra.org. to get your tickets. John, Mr. Bittner, are you going to miss this or no? You know, just no ties, no socks, no steady gig.
I can't tell you for sure. So far, so good. I'm going to be plenty busy for me. I'm sort of retiring into the schedule of an orchestral percussionist.
Let the record show that he just bumped Mr. Shaw there. Well, gentlemen, it's such a pleasure to speak to you both. And you, Mr. Shaw, you're going on with the orchestra, and I'm sure this guy will be around, and you'll see him. And
yeah, I will. And of course, now there is no replacing him, but now I will be in charge of the audition that we do have in the fall to try to find someone to come sit in his chair.
I'm sure there's an aspiring John Bannon out there somewhere.
Yeah, we expect about 60 of them to show up. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck to you on the concert. It's Mahler Symphony Number 3. It is Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Mahaffey Theater. I'll say it again, folks, floridaorchestra.org. Mr. Shaw, Mr. Bannon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.